Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, March the 20th, 2026. 15 minutes past the hour, joined in studio as we are each and every Friday night by Matt Morgan. And tonight, for the two-hour duration of the live program, we're so glad to be joined by former candidate for mayor, former candidate for state rep in the 86th District, former candidate for trustee here in Marion. He was a host on this station for...
And I have to be here for 2 hours?
I know. Wait for the intro, Glenn. Wait for the intro. You know how this goes. I shouldn't have turned your mic on. And he's also a host on this station for several years. We did a show together, and recently he filled in for Linda Sims. So got back in the saddle, Glenn Coble, with us tonight, which makes a lot of people happy, who do still ask about you.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
As much as I detour them asking about you, they still do. Well, Glenn, what's new? What's on your mind?
Well, like I told you, I wrote a whole list.
Go right ahead.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to add these as we talk. But I am getting angrier and angrier at our policy.
Tell us about the next No Kings rally.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the 28th, we're going to have a No Kings rally, and it's going to be at the courthouse, not at the memorial. It's going to be at the courthouse, and we want everybody to come to that. Now, I understand several of the people from the Democratic Club are coming. My group, Citizens for Democracy, will all be there, or most of them will be there. And if you want to come down and say to the world, I'm fed up with people trying to turn this into a monarch, come on down and join us for No Kings on the 28th. It's going to be a national event, as a matter of fact. So you'll be joining hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people.
Next Saturday.
28th.
28th, yeah. What's the time?
We're going from 12 to 2.
12 to 2 at the courthouse.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll try to come down and cover that.
We'd love to have you.
I didn't know about the last one at the memorial.
Well, we tried to hide it from you.
I know you didn't let me know what was going on.
But we've seen your
you've seen my
newscast.
Coverage. Yeah, you said, oh, boy, let's not get into that. We don't want to make anybody else angry. It doesn't take much anymore. Now, the one at the memorial, that, my understanding, was about Iran?
Yeah, kind of. The ones that we hold at the memorial are usually just to come out and put signs up saying that we don't like what's going on. That's mainly what it is. It's kind of a general thing. We do that about once a month, especially during the winter. We'll probably pick it up a little bit now. But, yeah, that last one really was what you said.
About the war in Iran.
Yeah.
So this one is just a general one.
Yeah.
Or is there a specific...
No Kings on the 28th is to discourage our current president from trying to become a king and to discourage anybody who wants to become a king without... the name of our group is Citizens for Democracy. It isn't Citizens for a King. So that's what we're doing.
Well, it's interesting. One of your members was in with us on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
yeah,
Ken Halloran, who's running for 86th
State.
State.
Yeah.
You're the seat you ran for.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give him?
Oh, man, it's tough in this very red district. But I think he's got a better chance than I had because the tide seems to be turning somewhat. And he's got a... probably better support than I had, just because more people know that he's running. I wasn't very good at that. I really don't like running for office. If somebody came to me and said, would you run for office in this position and we'll support you, I'd love it. But when you have to volunteer to do it, and you have to volunteer to be your own treasurer, and you have to volunteer to raise your own money, it just gets really hard.
Well, I want to talk to you about something in that regard in a second.
Sure.
But Matt, get in here. What do you think about the No Kings rallies?
I have never been able to attend one. They always have them on a day where I am busy. So
it's always on Saturday.
Yeah, always on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'm
12 to 2 at the courthouse.
Yeah, we'll drag you down.
Oh,
yeah.
I usually am occupied 7 to 3 on...
with the vegetables.
Yeah,
with the vegetables.
Right. On
bring the rotten
on
ones. We'll throw them at certain people.
Oh, I could do that.
Well, the question I have is, recently at a city council meeting, I interviewed former Marion City Treasurer Tom Pannett, mm-hmm. Democrat. And last year, as many people remember, the Democrats had an open seat to run for treasurer. The current treasurer, Tommy Reese, was running for re-election. He pulled back. The Republicans appointed Vidya, who ended up winning the election. Mm-hmm. But because of that technicality, the election rules stated that all the Democrats had to do was give them a name, and they could run somebody in that position. And somehow, the Democrats managed to run nobody in that particular position. I asked the last man to win that job before Tommy Reese, a Democrat, if he was asked if he would have run, and he said yes. He said, nobody asked me. Now, this is the problem with the... Now, here we go. Now, I'll be getting calls from the Democratic Party. This is the problem with the Democratic Party in Marion. My jaw about hit the floor when Tom Pannett said, yes, I would have.
Yeah. Nobody came and asked me for that either, and I probably would have. Matter of fact, when I ran for mayor, it was 2 days before the deadline day, and I went into the current mayor, back then it was...
Schertzer.
Mayor Schertzer, and I went into him and I said, I know there are only 2 days to go, but we need somebody in there. And he said, yeah, okay, go ahead, run. I said, you want me to run? He said, yeah, go ahead, run. So I ran, but, you know, with 2 days' notice, it's not very easy to do.
And no primary.
No, nothing at all.
No.
Walked right in.
And then I said to Tom Pannett, because he lives in the 6th Ward, and they just recently appointed Bill Dichtel to that seat, mm-hmm. I said, Tom, would you ever consider running for 6th Ward City Council person? He said, yes, I would, but nobody asks.
I believe Kent is running, was running for 6th District.
At large.
At large. Okay.
So here is a guy.
Nobody ever asked me for that either, and I'm in 6th District.
But I don't understand, because all you ever hear when you get them in here is they say, we can't find candidates.
Well, nobody asks, and you won't find them if you don't ask. You got to turn a log over to find those worms under there.
I mean, what do they do? Beat the bushes and nothing falls out? I mean, I don't understand.
There is no bush beating.
I guarantee you, I don't care how old, how young, what gender, what ethnicity. If I was a Democratic Party in Marion and I couldn't find anybody, you can guarantee I'd be looking up old candidates and old office holders and at least asking them if they want to do something. It astounded me. Tom Pannett won that position, I can't remember how many times, and they never asked the man.
I imagine Tom and I have a similar problem. Neither one of us are young chickens.
No, he's not young.
No, and I told my wife as I got older, I really probably won't run for office because I'm too old to run for office. And I'm turning 80 at my next birthday. And I swear, I look at that and I say, I'm not too young to. I could do a good job. And I ran for mayor basically because nobody else was running. But I think I could do a heck of a lot better job, not than the current mayor. I don't know whether he's done a good job or not. But I know I could do a good job, but nobody ever asks, so you don't want to just jump in there. If you're taking a nap every day at 2 o'clock for half an hour, you like that.
Reagan took naps, and the part-time treasurer is part-time, so city council. Matt, what do you make of this Democratic Party in Marion?
Well, I don't I think it would have made sense to ask the man who was there. I mean, like, he was the last one who was there. I mean, before being unseated, you know, you just went over the whole thing.
I imagine he's older than I am, don't you think?
Or about my age. Think Tom is probably in his 80s, but he's doing well.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, he's
charismatic.
Yeah, still a funny guy. You should have seen him up at the
He used to be a principal. I mean, he knows how to speak in front of groups. He knows how to handle himself. He's been in this community for 50 years. You know, he's a former treasurer. He's a former principal in Marion City Schools. I mean, why would you not?
Yeah, I would gladly vote for him.
Yeah, Tom's a great guy. So I don't get things like that. I know the Democrats get mad at me about that, but that baffles me that they run that party that way.
I get people mad at me because I've said in the past that I didn't think the Democratic Party in Marion was doing a very good job. And every time I say that, somebody comes over to me and kind of nudges me and says, hey, they aren't.
Yeah. Oh, they know. The real Democrats, the long-term Democrats in town, know. And that's the sad part.
And it's probably our fault. It's probably my fault because I didn't just say, oh, I'm turning an 80, heck with it, I'm going to run for office. But at that age, you think, well, there are a lot of young people out there that would be more energetic than I would be. But
it's just like going on a date. You want to be asked.
Yeah, you do.
You do. And it's harder to turn down somebody when they ask than if you're going to volunteer. Oh, let me. No, I mean, that's not really how it goes.
All three offices I ran for, I had to volunteer, and I had to do everything from raise money to do the... And that's just tiring.
What is that problem? I mean, as a party chair or party central committee, that's what you're supposed to do. Ask people to run. You've got to find people.
I don't know, and I'm not going to say that anything bad because I don't even know who's responsible for doing that right now.
You know, well, that's what I say about the Republicans in Marion, is the Republicans should not feel confident that they are good politicians in winning elections because the Democratic Party doesn't put anybody up. If you run unopposed or people run against you who are not in it to win it, you know, it's pretty easy to win. It's one of the long-term baffling mysteries in Marion to me is the death of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, we were strong when we first came here in 04.
Well, the mayor was a Democrat till 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The first primary I covered for the station, they were I do believe every seat was contested. But
it hasn't
been that way since the first.
Not well, it's either. Almost like, and you know how many of the movers and shakers in this town do identify as Democrats?
No.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people like Tom Panett, people like Tara Dyer, people like yourself, people like Mary Ellen Withrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are Scott Kreider, city councilman, Ayers Ratliff, former city councilman. There are Sheriff Bailey, former 16-year sheriff. These are Democrats, and they don't come to the meetings. Ken Halloran, who's become a mover, a shaker, office runner. Why?
Well,
why?
When I first started going to the meetings, which was only, I don't know, 5, 8 years ago, something like that, there was nobody there. So it was kind of embarrassing, and I kept...
Joanne Kasotis.
Yeah, and I kept going, and nobody came. So after a while, you just kept kind of... worn down and disappointed, so that's why I quit going to the meetings. I still pay my dues. As a matter of fact, I have to pay them now.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting, and I said on election night last year, I said the biggest loser that night was the Democratic Party because Scott Kreider, the only Democrat, well, Anthony Azaria won. He lost in the 6th Ward, but in an election that was citywide at large, which means everybody who voted in the city got to vote for that seat. Scott Kreider, the Democrat, only was something like 50 votes away from the highest getting Republicans citywide. So to say that people don't vote for Democrats, that's not true.
Right.
You know, so why not put people up? And I can't imagine. The 6th Ward has been historically Republican.
Yes.
So that Anthony lost is not shocking. And he wasn't. Unfortunately, I hate to say, it wasn't a hugely strong candidate.
Well, he was brand new. Yeah.
But the first ward has been Democrat for a long, long time. Nobody ran. The second ward had a 20-year sitting Democrat in the seat that nobody tried to run in the second ward. So at-large seats have been Democratic. I don't get it.
Do you think, now, I'm not asking this politically, do you think... I'm going to just say it this way. A person of my age should go ahead and try and run if you've...
Yes, because I don't think age matters on the local level. I don't think people look at age.
Boy, I think... I don't know.
And I'll tell you, this year, the down-ticket vote from the state level, I think is going to carry a lot of local people over.
You do?
I do.
Well, because that last year it was going to carry people.
Well, but we didn't have a state level.
Or 2 years ago.
And well, it did. Well, 2 years ago. No, Trump won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No. No, that didn't help. But this year, you've got Sherrod Brown and Amy Acton at the top of the ticket.
And Trump at the top of his ticket.
Well.
And I think that's going to help Democrats.
That's why this primary is going to be so fascinating on the Cinco de Mayo. Because there are so many Republican primaries for state offices, local offices, that we're going to find out where the Republican Party is on that date. Ramaswamy and Putsch for governor. We're going to find out what counties he's strong in and not strong in. We're going to find out the treasurer's race. We're going to the Secretary of State. All primaries for the Republicans. They have four people running for county commissioner in their primary. They have three people running for the 86th district spot. You know, we're going to find out.
Yeah. Now, I have talked to several of my friends who are Republicans and asked them, what do you stand for? What does the Republican Party stand for? And nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. Democrats have an idea. Most of them are damn liberals. And that's where we stand.
Is it liberal or progressive now?
Both.
Goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Who's going to win that 86th district with Ben Weber, Wesleyan Davis, and Stephen Wolf?
I have no idea.
Who would you put your money on?
I don't know him well enough to do that. Probably Wolf, but I don't know him well.
Wolf?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I like his name.
Okay. Well, there you go. Matt?
If I was a gambling man, I'd put my money on Ben Weber winning that race.
Oh, there you go. Kent will win his primary.
Yes, that's right.
Will Ramaswamy have a problem in the rural counties where Republicans need to win?
I'll tell you what. This is going to be an interesting thing. It's a woman, and there are a lot of old men.
Amy Acton.
Yeah. A lot of old men don't like women running for big offices. Running against a man who's not from the United States and has a foreign...
No, well, he's from Cincinnati.
He is, but his family is from other.
Yeah.
And his name sounds like he's from someplace else. And I think those two running against each other, I think there's a perfect chance for a third party to jump in here.
Well,
it's not going to happen. But
well, no, but I find this is such an interesting election. Neither one has ever won an elected office. Neither has ever held an elected office. They both will be a first. You'll either have the first non-white governor or you'll have the first female elected governor. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
You have to be captivated by that race.
Yeah.
And Ramaswamy's dropping $10 million in it right now. I've seen the attack ads. You can't help but turn on a television and see Ramaswamy right now.
Ramaswamy has said he's going to run ads all the way up until the election's over.
Well, he's got the dough.
He certainly does.
That's the one thing in all three of my elections, I've campaigned against, but it didn't make any difference. We've got to find a way to cut money way, way down in our politics.
If Amy Acton is going to win this thing, she better, between now and then, become friendlier with the press. She does not with the press.
She needs a PR person.
She needs
better.
A good PR person, and she needs to hold open events. She doesn't do rallies. I don't understand that. I thought she was holding off, but my God, we're 7 months away now?
Have you talked to her why she doesn't?
When I talked to her last October, when she did the, I did not realize she did so few interviews. I mean, I did two interviews with her, and boy, I feel like the belle of the ball because she doesn't do them. I mean, they're few and far between. But I thought that was the start. So we really didn't talk about that. We talked more about her campaign and the COVID and will that work against her and Mike DeWine and all that sort of thing. I thought, well, we're heading into winter, so she's certainly not going to hold rallies in the winter in Ohio, but now that's she's still not doing it.
Well, I sent her a email. You never know if they get there.
You never know.
Because it goes to a general address. But I said, I as a former PR director and person and a politician and in your party, I'll be glad to help out. Haven't heard back, so.
I think she's got the poll fever, and I see this with politicians, and when you talk to them the day after the election in their tears, they'll tell you they did wrong, but they start believing the polls after a while that they are in the lead, and they start believing all the people, the sycophants around them, who are telling them they're great, and that's who is around you.
Worst thing to have.
And they think they're going to win, so they try not to screw it up, and they consider interviews and rallies and debates ways to screw it up, so they don't participate, and they lose because they didn't get out there. And she's almost that right now, and I, boy, she better turn that around in a hurry. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, Ramaswamy's not doing much better.
No, well, no, he's not either, which is also that benefits her.
Yeah, I mean,
well, he's been on the show.
Yes, he has.
How many people in Ohio have had them both on? I bet you could get it on one hand at this point.
Probably.
You might get it on one hand just for her.
Yeah, yeah. She's very squeamish about interviews.
That, yeah.
I mean, when she comes into a town and does her events, I mean, it's almost media persona non grata, and it's almost as if she also doesn't want other people there. She just wants Democrats there. You don't have to win the Democrats over. You got to win other people.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well.
I don't get it. But anyway.
I figure that public events would be the better way to go. I mean, why wouldn't you want the media there? I mean, you're going to... It doesn't make any sense to me.
We know where Glenn's headed on this one. Where are you headed, Matt?
As far as
the gubernatorial election. Oh. I don't think you're going to be voting for Ramaswamy, are you?
Absolutely not.
Hey, I learned there's a Libertarian candidate running for governor.
Oh, who's that?
Don Kissick.
Oh, well.
Watch your mouth.
I think he's standing out on Delaware Avenue waiting to be interviewed right now. He's just waiting for somebody to pay attention to him. Don Kissick.
Yes, oh, I do believe.
Well, oh, boy. Well, get it down. I bet I could call him at home right now. He'd be glad to do an interview. He'd probably come on right now. Don Kissick.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, what do you know about Don Kissick?
Well, no, I knew he was running. That's it.
Okay, so who are you going for in this race?
Not Don Kissick.
No,
maybe.
Know.
Who knows? Throw your vote away.
I don't know. I mean, it's not going to be Ramaswamy. So,
it'll be Amy.
Well, I could always just see. I could just abstain from the ticket.
Or nominate yourself.
Yeah, but I'm pretty.
That is throwing the vote away, but.
Is this the guy, Don Kissick?
That was a woman, by the way.
No, this is a guy.
I don't know. Look.
That is.
Is that him?
I would just see if you can't find the. 1 second. I'll pull up a. I assume he's got a campaign page. I mean.
Well, he's from Ohio. I don't know. How'd you find out this guy was even running?
I was looking at the, I'm dumb. I was looking at the sample ballots for the primary.
Well, Don Kissick is not exactly a common name, so I'm pretty sure if he's from Ohio and that's him, that's probably the guy.
I bet.
Yeah.
That's him. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yep, that's the fellow.
Glenn, you bringing in Don Kissick? You giving Don Kissick a shot?
No, but if Amy gives me a call and asks me to help her, I'll be glad to.
What are the drawbacks to Amy Acton?
That she's not aggressive enough in public, I think. I think she's perfect. I mean, you do realize she's a doctor. I mean, she's
I'd heard that.
Highly educated.
You know she's been on the show, Glenn.
Yes, I know she has. She's highly educated. She speaks well when I've heard her. Unfortunately, I've only heard her once.
You know who hasn't been on the show? Don Kissick.
Yeah, but I bet not.
He's a hard booking. He's difficult to get through. Don Kissick.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Anyway,
whatever.
Hating on Don Kissick.
Well, why not? Add him to the list.
Well, that's another reason why people don't vote very much, because they don't hear. I bet most people couldn't tell you five people that are up for election this year on either side of the thing. You know, you walk out on the street and say, do you know, I'll give even this, do you know three people that are going to be running on the ballot this year? I bet nobody could come up with three people, either party.
I don't know. I bet you could do Ramaswamy, Acton, and Sherrod Brown. They're well known.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Let's go back to five.
I don't know about John Husted, though. He's got problems. Poor man.
Yeah.
He seems to say things that make the Republicans angry, own party.
If you wait a minute, I'll run home and get my violin.
You don't miss John Husted?
No.
Well, we'll see how it all shakes out. Governor DeWine seems like the odd man at the dance. He just seems like he's just biding his time to get out of there because he poor man, can't get any support. Well, I have no idea what happened to Jim Tressel. I think he's still there, but we don't see him anymore.
Well, I mean, there's no. I mean, he said he's not running for governor. I don't see. I mean, there's no. I don't think he's done anything.
I think he won the honor of being the number one little league football coach in America.
You know what? Here's an interesting subject. And then read the whole story because I don't think this has been highly publicized. It just happened today. The U.S. Department of Treasury has taken a big step forward to plan to etch in the plan to etch President Donald Trump's portrait on a 24-karat gold commemorative coin. The Commission of Fine Arts and Advisory Board, whose members were handpicked by Trump, approved the general design on March 19th for a gold commemorative coin emblazoned with the president's image. The commemorative coin features a picture taken of the chief White House photographer, taken by the chief White House photographer, of Trump leaning over the Resolute desk, a photo on display in the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery. Let's see here. Megan Sullivan, acting chief of the Mint's Office of Design Management, said the Treasury Secretary presented a series of designs to Trump before submitting the proposal to the commission. Trump, she said, approved this image. The coin will have a denomination, though it has not yet been chosen. The Commission of Fine Arts approved the design for a 24-karat commemorative coin featuring the image of President Donald Trump to celebrate the nation's 250th anniversary. The coin is expected to join a slate of special election currencies, addition currencies, and medals the Treasury is releasing for the nation's semi-cinquennial year, including a separate $1 Trump coin the Fine Arts Commission approved in January. But neither the $1 coin or the gold coin have received approval from the Citizens Coinage Advisory Council, a nonpartisan group created by Congress to advise the Treasury on coin design. That committee declined to review both coins and argued that depicting a sitting president on currency runs counter to the country's founding principles. Donald Scolari, chair of the Advisory Council, described the two proposals as an abhorrent to the Declaration of Independence and said it was a huge irony to celebrate the country's break from the British monarchy with coins of the president. If you issue a coin with a portrait of a sitting president, it will send a message that the sitting president is king, Scolari said. Now here's a fact, then we'll talk about this. George Washington refused to have his image printed on currency during his lifetime, believing it was monarchical. That's an interesting word. Only one president, Calvin Coolidge, has ever had his likeness printed on the currency while he was living. He was featured alongside Washington on a controversial 1926 half dollar for the nation's 150th anniversary. The coin wasn't popular, and most pieces were melted by the mint. There you go.
If I get a Trump one, it'll be melted by me.
Will it? So what do you make of this?
I can't believe he is that arrogant and that self aggrandizing. That's just obnoxious. If you had an 8-year-old kid in grade school that was as self aggrandizing as he is, nobody would ever talk to the kid again.
But Calvin Coolidge did this too.
Well, he wasn't so
bright
either.
100 years ago.
Jeez.
He took advantage of the anniversaries of this country as well. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, I don't think you should. I don't know. I don't think you should go. You should go putting your face on coins. I mean, especially you got to go through the councils and whatnot that are put there for that reason. I mean, you know, and also I figured that this kind of thing would need some kind of congressional approval, but
it does.
Well, apparently not.
Well, oh. Maybe not as a. It's not an official coin.
Special coin, yeah. But that it has a denomination. There's
it's
cloudy.
Worth X
it's cloudy. Yeah.
Cents.
Yeah. It's cloudy. Because well. You'll be able to spend it. It's not a commemorative.
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
I think one of these is commemorative, but I don't think because it will have a denomination. It's 24 karat gold.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but if it's 24 karat gold, I mean, I'm not gonna use it for whatever that denomination is. That's 24 karat gold.
And to think we had to get rid of the penny.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford it.
Well, it's all because of this. We have bigger things to worry about.
Well, the penny was costing more than a penny to produce it.
From one of our listeners out there tonight, how are they going to get the correct orange U on the coin?
That's a good question. They can use a penny.
The phone lines are open, by the way. I should mention this. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to call in. 740-383-9944. I don't know. It's a little strange to me. I think it's odd. But if Coolidge did it, I mean, it's not like it doesn't have precedent. It's been done.
Why do people want to have their face on currency? And I can understand it. After you're passed away, Washington didn't know he was going to be on the dollar bill. So
No, but he didn't want it. I found that interesting. Yeah, no, that was the interesting piece here, that he called it monarchical.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, you know, the man could have basically made the presidency anything you wanted to.
But fighting the Revolutionary War, I guess, gives you a different opinion about having your face on the money.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it makes sense in my opinion. I mean, you know, Caesar's face was on the money. I mean, you know, you could go back all throughout.
Everybody loves Caesar.
Well, apparently not.
After they stabbed him.
I was going to say, well, you know, I mean, apparently not. They killed him.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting story, but I don't know where it'll go. I mean, do you think the coin will be popular?
I think it'll... I mean, I assume they're only going to print a certain amount of them, and I think that the Trump people are probably going to buy them.
Coin collectors will buy them.
Yeah, and 33% of the population, that's about, what,
24-karat gold. There you go.
Hey,
too
if, you
expensive.
Know, if somebody offered me one of these 24-karat gold coins for not... Well, I don't know what they're asking for them, but it's going to be a lot of money. But if I got one for, you know, fairly cheap, I'd keep it. I mean, it's a... It's 24-karat gold.
Well,
if they gave it to me, I might.
Let's talk about Iran. Let's go into a nice, easy subject, like Iran.
That's nice.
You know what? We don't know what is going on here because Trump at this point is not ruling out troops. In the beginning, he did rule out troops. We've got a new regime there run by the son of the Ayatollah. Now, today, I'm being told... A lot of people, a lot of the periodicals I read every morning, are saying that Iran very well might have a nuclear weapon, and that this strike that allegedly disabled them almost a year ago now did not work, and that's why we were fearful and went in again, and that they're still not disabled. And gas is up nearly $1.50 in a month because Strait of Hormuz is blocked, which apparently people told the president that was what they were going to do to fight back. No, people said Iran was too weak to do anything. Well, take a look at that.
I don't know how you're going to think Iran was too weak to do anything.
I don't understand any of this.
You only need two people, one to carry the bomb and the other one to throw it.
Well, Glenn, what do you think?
Well, I personally think that war is not a sport, and that's the way we're treating it right now. And I absolutely hate the war. I don't think Trump had any right to do it, especially since he didn't ask permission from the Congress. He didn't ask permission from the people. I think he ought to be in jail for taking us to war. I don't know how he's not in jail. And his entire family is getting filthy rich off this war. And that drives me crazy.
But why did people... The night it happened, I had conversations, and it was a happy day for people that day. Women in Iran took... Well, you know, yeah. The leader was dead. They didn't like the Ayatollah. Women took off their burqas. They were celebrating. But I never understood this belief.
The burqa, that must be...
Didn't they have that headdress on?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Didn't they... I never understood... I don't think that's a burqa. I didn't understand why people thought Iran was this weak little country that couldn't do anything. If they were no threat, why were we bombing them? Well, and apparently...
Obviously, we don't know.
We don't know.
No.
That's about what you get from reading. Now, we don't know.
I have no idea. And the jackass, excuse me, the person that's in charge is allowing it to go on, and it's illegal. And the people around him will not hold him to the law. That drives me crazy,
well,
too.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, nobody's got any backbone. I've said that before. I mean, it certainly seems like...
But my question is, why did we believe Iran was this meek little country? I'm still confused about that. They are not Venezuela. They are not Cuba. They are not that. I don't. Where did we get this idea that they were like this country you could just knock off and that was going to be like a day at the beach? I don't understand that.
And they're willing to fight.
Well, I think...
they believe... I said the night that it happened, these people believe that dying for their cause is, you know...
They'll go to heaven.
They'll go to heaven. We don't fight like that in America. We don't want to die for our wars.
No.
We don't like war.
Well, there are some of us...
Allegedly, I guess.
There are some of us that are don't even like it so much that they have bone spurs so they don't have to go to war.
You'll like this. It's like a Trump coin. For Mary out there listening, I just got to tune in. It's really great to hear Glenn's voice.
Well, aren't you kind?
Glenn's smiling so hard he wants his face on a coin.
I think I just wet myself.
Oh, Lord. Well, don't sit in that chair. All right. Well, see, there we go. But here we are. But has anybody answered the question? Why did we believe Iran was a meek little country?
Maybe Trump just saw, maybe Trump saw how, like, quote unquote, easy it was to depose like Maduro, and he was like, oh well, I mean, you know, if we could do that, you know, then I guess, you know, he just like assumed all it was the same.
The Ayatollah is not Maduro.
I understand. I think maybe Trump was like, man, that was so easy. I wonder how easy this would be.
I don't know if this is correct or not, but I think I remember hearing that they have like 500,000. Troops ready to go if they need them.
I don't like the talk that I'm seeing that apparently we never knew if their nuclear capabilities were destroyed. No. You know, why all of a sudden is this popping up again? We were told 6 months ago that they were destroyed in an attack.
100%.
Yeah, but now it's, you know what? We really don't know if they have them or not. Well, you're going to find out.
And they're not going to tell you until they need them.
And they do have missiles. Somebody told me they had no way to fight.
Oh, no, they have missiles.
Well, yeah, but where, what?
Well, they've been using the missiles. I don't know.
No, but I'm saying they didn't have the capabilities to fight us off this long. I mean, what's it been now? Close to a month, hasn't
it
been?
Iran said they're still producing this. I mean, I guess if I wasn't producing missiles, I wouldn't tell you I wasn't producing missiles. But Iran says they still have the capabilities.
I mean, there's a new regime in place. Maybe they have a nuclear weapon.
Wouldn't it?
They have
sun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand how this could be gotten so wrong. And again, I said this before. What benefit for everybody who believes this is Trump's way, it's a benefit to him. How does this benefit him? How does this war benefit him?
It sets up a lot of confusion politically for us. So I think he really believes that if the populace is confused, they'll just vote for him because he's a tough guy, and I don't think that's true.
Well, the phone lines are open again if somebody'd like to call in. We know they're out there listening tonight. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I guess they don't want to hear our voices, Matt.
What was her name?
Mary.
Oh, Mary. Hi, Mary.
Well, you're stuck on that now, aren't you?
Well, I like having somebody like me.
You know, it's a rarity.
I have a hard time even getting my wife to like me at times.
I don't know. I just think this is a weird war.
It's not weird. It's illegal.
Well, yeah, but I think
it's against the law.
Yeah, but we've crossed that bridge.
No, I haven't.
Well, but I think we have as America. I think it's no going back on that one now.
I think our Republican Party has, but as soon as we change the Republican Party to a Democratic Party, I think you'll see some heavy-duty work on that.
Well, war turns people around. The Iraq War certainly did.
Sometimes. If it's a legit war, a lot more things happen.
I don't know how I got on the topic, but the other day me and my grandma were talking about the Iraq War, and she told me she watched the Iraq War on TV. And I was like, they just televised the Iraq War? She was like, yeah, you could see him dropping, you know, you could see the bombs.
Shock and awe. Remember Shock and awe?
And I was like, what? You could just watch the bombs fall.
I remember the Vietnam War. We watched it every day.
You know, but I've said this before. It's been a long time since we talked, because I was on the air during the Iraq War, and we talked about that a lot. And, you know, the moment I knew that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction was, I never forget this, because do you remember that, you know, we didn't really have huge internet capabilities in 2003, you know, everybody wasn't on their phone yet, and all the cable networks, do you remember this, that the United States, first we dropped pamphlets on Iraq and said, we're coming time and this date. Then we scrambled all their television signals and came on and said, we're coming this time and this date. We told Saddam, you go to a different country, an island's nice, get out of there, surrender, okay? So we're coming, this is your deadline. And MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, all in the corner, had a countdown to the Iraq War. And I remember it, and nothing dawned on me odd until I went that night. I remember going out to dinner, Bob Evans, with a group of people, and everybody's talking about it, because it's going to happen. You know, the clocks are ticking. And I remember sitting there with them, and it dawned on me, we're marching ground troops in, and we're telling them exactly when we're coming. Now, if they have a nuclear weapon, it's coming right then.
Might as well.
Because they're going to hit them. Because the question is, why, if you truly believe there were weapons of mass destruction, would you march ground troops in and tell them exactly when you're going to do it? And that's what we did. I knew in that moment there wasn't anything there.
I don't know if what we can think now, whether we can believe they have bombs or they don't have bombs. All I know is that we have to find a way to get a... We're being really stupid. The world is, in thinking that war is going to solve anything. And the only thing... War and religion have killed more things than anything else. And we need to back away from that.
What do you think, Matt?
I would agree with Glenn. I mean, I think war is not great, you know. I mean, I think that maybe people should just take a step back and then take a breather.
What good does it do?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the purpose, really.
What about the head of the counterterrorism organization, counterterrorism official, resigned, Joe Kent, and said in his letter that there is no imminent threat.
Yeah,
no imminent threat in Iran.
And he was a staunch Republican.
Right, but I read his letter, and it was a little anti-Semitic.
Was it?
I didn't read it. He kind of blamed it all on Israel. And
really?
Yeah.
Well, right now, I think Israel has to take some of the blame because of Netanyahu. I'm not sure that the Israeli people are great people. I have a lot of friends who are Israeli. Well, at least they were. Now they're Americans, but... Where we used to go every summer, it was an entire Jewish neighborhood, and they were lovely people. But
how about the new guy coming in? He was an MMA fighter, he was a contractor, he was a talk show host.
I don't trust anybody that's an MMA fighter.
He wanted to fight with somebody. Who was it? He wanted to fight with somebody.
Yeah, how bright is that to want to fight with somebody for
this
no
guy,
reason?
Why, he's a tough guy.
Yeah, that's what our president wants to be.
Well, I think this is going to be the new guy.
Well,
who is he going to fight?
He was going to fight somebody in one of the hearings.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't understand.
That's how important.
Can you imagine Ted Kennedy saying he was going to go over and knock out Arlen Specter? But one right between your eyes, buddy boy. What happened to politics?
What happened to humanity?
Yeah, but good Lord. I mean, Tip O'Neill. Can you imagine old Grandpa Tip, who sat up there as Speaker of the House, you know, saying...
He was pretty young when I first saw him.
No, he was always had that white hair.
Yeah,
old Grandpa Tip, who weighed about 350, sitting up there, talking in that old Southern accent. Can you imagine him saying he was going to go down and pound, like, Senator Byrd or something? It wouldn't happen.
No.
I mean, what happened?
I don't know. It's kind of interesting to watch... Senator Byrd right now is
son, isn't it?
Yeah,
because he's gone.
Yeah,
he's went on to his reward.
I mean the new guy. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I was getting.
But you know what? There used to be well-known Congress people and senators. We don't know. I mean, Ted Kennedy was as well-known as the president. John McCain at a point was as well-known as the president. Nancy Pelosi was as well-known as the president. She's still there. But there were John Lewis, a lot of people. But who are those people now? I don't know. A lot of these people, I have no idea who they are.
You're showing your age, I'm afraid.
Well, that can happen too.
I don't know if they're as popular.
Hillary Clinton was in the Senate.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're as popular as the president, but I mean, a lot of people know of like Ted Cruz, but that probably has something to do with the fact that he ran for president a lot of times.
You mean the most hated man in the Congress? Who said that this week? Somebody said he's the most hated person in Congress.
They've always disliked him.
Yeah.
He's always, he Republican must not be fun.
Well, I think Ted Cruz is a different kind of a fellow.
I think he is too, yeah.
How about Marco Rubio?
Oh, I have zero respect for Marco. You know that man.
Best Secretary of State in the history of the world.
So says Trump.
I am so disappointed in him. I thought he would have been a good politician to have on the Republican side, and he's just lost his self-control.
Yes, I have zero respect for Marco Rubio. You know, Marco Rubio used to be a sensible kind of fellow, but you know, all of a sudden it seems that he like sold his soul or something, and then it's changed.
He would have been one of the Republicans I would have voted for.
Rubio was a rather sensible kind of fellow.
What is that, power? Katie Vance.
I think that's what it is. I think he probably was like, yeah, whatever you say, Donnie, I want that job.
Yeah, I
want
to keep getting higher up in the group.
Apparently, when you get close to the president, I did not know this, but you get a pair of shoes, a free pair of shoes.
Yeah, I saw that. And
what?
They don't necessarily fit.
Well, apparently you don't want to say you have a small shoe. shoe size.
They showed pictures of all the guys sitting around the table with their shoes on, and most of them were way too big for their feet.
Well, there you go. They're like black floor shines.
Floor shines, yeah. They're wingtips. They're very expensive.
Well, that's what Trump
wears.
I'm
not sure they're wingtips, but they are floor shines.
Well, you know what? Go get yourself some cheese dip. Come back. It's hard to believe the first hour is already over. We're blowing right by. What's on your show tonight, Matt?
Basically more of this.
More of this. All right. Well, we'll be back after this short but important break. Enjoy yourself. We're coming back. Get the cheese dip.
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.